From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 25th, 2010. Each week, this podcast examines news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Hidden under this week's press releases are indications of big change in the air. We'll glimpse the future by looking at news from Maps, ProQuest, CloudMade, and Google. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Manage your field data and immediately share critical business information across your enterprise. For more information, visit www.esri.com/mobile solutions.
Now, things are starting to slow down as we head into the big holiday weekend of Memorial Day. But if you look carefully through the press releases this week, there were some little indicators of trends and changes to come. And I think it's worth taking a look at four of those news announcements and digging into them just a little bit. The first announcement I want to look at is from Maps. And Maps is applauding the parcel provision in a Senate-passed financial services reform bill related to parcel ID information. And in particular, they're applauding the inclusion of a parcel geocoding provision providing for an early warning system in Senate Bill 3217, the Restoring American Financial Stability Act of 2010. And it passed the House earlier this week. And what it does is it adds amendments to the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, which includes a provision for the newly created Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection within the Federal Reserve to collect the parcel number to permit geocoding on mortgage transactions. So in short, when money changes hands related to mortgages, we're going to know the location of the property in question. I want to make two comments about this announcement. First of all, MAPS is the geospatial lobbying organization. Whether you agree with them or disagree with them, they have the power, the knowledge, and the money to move their agenda forward. And this is one of those places where they have done that and, to their credit, informed us all of what has been done. Secondly, I want to point out that the term parcel early warning system, and I don't know who came up with that, is a wonderful way to describe this. So kudos on both those things.
I had a couple questions when I read this, and I guess this newly formed agency is going to be the one that will monitor all of these problems that are going to arise, if they arise, from looking at mortgage foreclosures. I think this particular analysis that's going to be done has to be done. I'd like to know who the recipient is of these warnings and what they're going to do with them if they see a problem. I'm right with you in terms of this had to be done, should be done, and we'll provide a link if you want to see what's being done currently at the HMDA site, how you geocode, because you only get the track level, and this is why I think MAPS was plotting this, is when you use this little geocoder, all you get is the census track number. You don't get anything more detailed. So if we're going to track exactly down to the parcel level, fantastic. But who's going to do the work? Who's going to raise the red flag if the bells and whistles go off?
Yeah, my guess is that's the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection.
Right.
But that's a good thing to keep an eye on. Next up, there was an announcement from ProQuest about its new integration of Sanborn Maps into its resources. And ProQuest is using a proprietary geo-referencing technology to significantly enhance discovery in its Sanborn map collection, one of the library's most consulted sources of historical maps. And what they've done is basically put the scanned Sanborn insurance maps into a database with this proprietary geo-referencing technology so that people who subscribe to the service, this is typically a service that your library or university or company would subscribe to, can get access to them. An integrated dynamic overlay map viewer allows maps to be compared and contrasted over time with multiple maps from the same city and against modern-day street, satellite, and hybrid views. GeoEdition also connects with other geospatial content through GeoTIFF files that can be used to import data into the map files. This is an interesting announcement. It's part of the, if you can't own the data, be the organizer of the data principle of business, which is a good thing. What really annoys me about this is this proprietary closed system where the only way you can get your data to overlay with the Sanborn maps is through GeoTIFF, which is kind of clunky, and why it doesn't hook up with other standard services, I don't know. Maybe that's coming.
Yeah, my problem with this is that it seemed very academic in nature. I wasn't really familiar with ProQuest, and when I went to the site to review it, I found it somewhat difficult to navigate my way to get to the map area. I'm not sure I got there, to be honest with you. So it seemed very, like I said, very academic. A good service if you can get to the data, but for the average geospatial user, not sure would be of much interest.
Right, so maybe that's a couple of suggestions from the folks at ProQuest to take a look at. On to a third announcement, and this from CloudMade. CloudMade, the platform and tools company serving consumers, mappers, developers, and advertisers around the world, has announced It's Your Map, a new initiative that empowers consumers to make outdated and poorly detailed maps a thing of the past. It's Your Map calls on communities across America to take pride and ownership in creating the most detailed, free, hyperlocal map of their neighborhood and provides them with the tools to achieve this goal. Now, the tools in question are three. One, where you can use a tool for navigation and add roads and correct roads. One for points of interest, and one for serious heavy-duty editing. And all these apps run on the iPhone. And you can tell by the wording from that announcement that a couple things are going on. One, I think, is that CloudMade is putting its name ahead of OpenStreetMap, which is, of course, the data set against which it's building. And it's clearly taking a poke at other mapping systems which may or may not have the best data, in particular, Google. And it's an interesting timing on this because Google just this week let it be known that it's hiring 300 temporary workers to improve the quality of Google Maps in the United States, which, as we know, are no longer sourced to TeleAtlas.
What I find troubling about this is it's one of these things that's in a growing list of let's add stuff out there from the geo world, right? What I see happening is with things like Foursquare and Gowalla and this, although it's not necessarily in the same ballpark, but it's taking somebody, an individual, because if you looked at the announcement, and we'll put a reference to that, it said, while you're standing on a street corner, go ahead and look around you and start adding points of interest. Well, to me, this is very fad oriented. It just screamed, it's a fad. It may be the same thing is happening with Foursquare. And since I've been a user of this, I'm noticing the same thing. After a while, there's really no incentive to do this, right? So what's the incentive to work with CloudMade on updating their maps? I just don't see it. And I'm wondering that if it's just a game like Foursquare, it's kind of cute and kind of fuzzy, and maybe I'm not of the generation that will continue to play the game. The problem with CloudMade is there's no incentive. There's no reason for me to update their maps, no reason to download the API. And after a while, I just think it falls flat on its face.
Okay, well, we'll see how what kind of uptake they have here in the United States and how much activity there is.
Well, I think the other thing they did here was, they also took a swipe, I think, at Navtech and TeleAtlas, because they say major map providers are large, slow-moving organizations that still use the same archaic model as print encyclopedias, struggling to accurately represent the ever-changing world. That may be true, but I don't know if they're going to be any more successful than the Navtechs or TeleAtlases.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I brought up that Google piece of information, because clearly they're not feeling comfortable with the quality of their maps currently. On to more Google news. Google announced an API for its Latitude product, and that's the location sharing solution that it announced a couple of years ago. It recently shared that it has 3 million users, but until recently, no API. In discussing this API from the announcement on a Google blog, we want to help developers build all these applications and more, but our first priority is keeping you, the user, in control over your location. That way, you only see it when, where, and how you choose. Before any application, website, or feature you've chosen to use can access your Latitude data, you must specifically grant access to the developer, and we'll see exactly what access or data they're requesting. This includes whether you share your current best available versus city-level location or your location history. If you've opted to use if you've opted into using Google Location History. If you change your mind, you'll be able to both see which developers have access to your latitude data and revoke access from any developer at any time from your Google account's personal settings. Just like with latitude, you always choose who can see your location. Now, the biggest thing I got out of this announcement is, okay, we're finally going to let you know what Google Latitude really is, and what it really is, sort of, is Fire Eagle. Because what Fire Eagle did in a slightly different way, with a slightly different vision, was to broker your location information between the applications that determined your location and the applications that wanted to use that location. And it sounds like Google is stepping right into that space. And the most significant thing, I think, about this is that poor Fire Eagle, it was just ahead of its time. I mean, I think it had all kinds of reasons that it should have been used more. Maybe there were Yahoo issues why that didn't happen. But now Google is stepping up at a different time when people have an awful lot more experience with location. They have an awful lot more information about privacy and issues related to privacy. Thank you very much, Facebook. And now may be just the right time to roll out this API for developers.
Yeah, I think you may be right, although I kind of read it as, oops, we better hurry up and do something with Latitude because other of these applications are using location in a much more, not sophisticated, but they're moving ahead. So I kind of got the feeling that we're behind. Yeah, Fire Eagle was with the guys out there first, but now we're looking like we better do something with this thing that we put out there and make it real.
The real way to measure that will be developers' reactions to this new API and how they use it.
Yeah, and I think just because it's Google, people will play with it. I think that's the big thing, is that they're going to take it and maybe we will see some interesting apps developed out of it.
Well, that's all the time we have today. But before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know about Lining Up Data in ArcGIS, A Guide to Map Projections, a new book by ESRI Press. It's an easy-to-navigate troubleshooting reference for any GIS user with the common problem of data misalignment. Complete with maps and diagrams, this guide presents techniques for identifying data projections and creating custom projections to align your data. To read an excerpt from the book or for more information, visit www.esri.com/ESRI Press. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.